Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice. We pray for faith in the fight.
Can I just say this? Most likely, the greatest obstacles of our friends, our family members, our neighbors coming to Christ is not how we feel, is not what we see, but it's who we are. Can I be that blunt? We just don't love people the way we should. People look at us and they see hypocrites. They see hatred. They see a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit. So we just don't love people with the love of Christ.
Mark chapter 2 in the first 12 verses is the account of four men who would stop at nothing for them to bring their paralytic friend to meet Jesus for a healing. Today on Growing Through God's Word, Jeremy Oldenburger will be our Bible teacher as we present a series that we're continuing called Faith in the Fight, which deals with a variety of personalities in the scriptures that faced great odds and still trusted God for the results. Do you have faith like these four friends to carry someone spiritually paralyzed to Christ? Think about the obstacles you might experience in bringing people to Jesus. How would you overcome them? That's what we'll consider on this edition of Growing Through God's Word.
Mark chapter 2. This is how the scriptures read. It says, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now there were some scribes that were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Your faith will impact others. Last year, I turned 40, and I had a birthday party. And I had some friends over that night. The next morning, had a knock on the front door. A friend of mine, I opened the door. He was there. He tossed me a pair of car keys. And I got the keys, and on there was Dodge. Now, my favorite car is a Dodge Challenger. So I went out front, and my heart sank into my left foot, because there in the driveway was a 2015 Dodge Challenger. And he said, "Before you get too excited, it's just a rental." And I said, "Hey, that's okay. That's okay. But I found out that this wasn't a rental from Modesto, because Modesto didn't have them. Stockton didn't have them. Merced didn't have them. He went all the way to San Jose, rented the car, and drove it back. And here's what happened. Kelly and I stayed in San Francisco for a couple nights, so we got to drive the car around for a couple days. Every time there was a red light, I got ready for that light to turn green. And I just got to confess right here, I stepped on the gas as hard as I could every single time. And then we'd get to the red light, stop, I would do the same thing. My wife, and I loved it, her back was like glued to the back of the seat. It was like the coolest thing ever. She's like, Jer, because that's how she talks to me when she's frustrated. Jer, do you have to do this every time? Guys, what's the answer to that? Yes! Of course, A, it's a Dodge Challenger, B, it's a rental, right? Like, if I didn't do that, my man card would get revoked. I'll never forget that weekend. Why? Because it was somebody that thought outside the box. Somebody didn't say, oh, you know what, they don't have one in Modesto, it's not going to happen. Somebody that was creative in the way they thought. See, if you're creative in your faith will always impact others. They had a faith that was active, a faith that was persistent, a faith that was creative. Fourthly, it was a faith that was sacrificial. A faith that was sacrificial. What did they do? They tore apart a roof. They thought, you know what, we can do the repairs later. The most important thing is that we get this guy to Jesus. And maybe they knew Peter, and they thought, you know what, Peter will get over it. Peter will be cool. Got the skylight, like I said before. We're modernizing this house. But they had to sacrifice. They had to sacrifice the looks that they got from other people. Like, what are you crazy guys doing carrying up somebody that's paralyzed on a roof? They had to be uncomfortable. One of the most ways that we step out of our comfort zones, one of the things that we can do is by doing things and going places that we've never been before. Can I just say that is one of the scariest things that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ, is to go places because of our faith that we've never gone before and sacrifice how we feel, sacrifice our comfort. Can I just say some of you are just way too comfortable in your faith. For me, I can get way too comfortable in my faith. And one of the greatest blessings that I've ever experienced was in a season where I was just uncomfortable. A season where I was a little bit scared. Kelly and I had Jacob, our son. He's got trisomy 8P, a chromosome disorder. And we sat down with the doctors after having Jake. And the doctor said, hey, if you do want to have more children, just want to need to let you know that you could have several miscarriages. You could have another child with severe special needs. We don't know what's going to happen. That was scary. Kelly and I started talking and praying, and boy, a year and a half later, I thought, you know what? I don't want to live with regret because I didn't trust God. I didn't want to live the rest of my life saying, what if? God, what if we would have believed? What if we would have done something that everybody else thought was crazy, but we believed that God could do something that we can't do ourselves? So we decided we'd try to get pregnant. A month later, Kelly got pregnant, and I got to tell you, for those 9 months, I was scared, I was nervous. When Andrew was born, I broke down and cried like a baby, but I got to experience something super powerful, a blessing of a healthy son. But in those moments, I had to sacrifice my comfort, I had to sacrifice my control, but in the end, God did something powerful. And let me just say this. We see this in these friends. We see a faith that's active, a faith that's persistent, a faith that's creative, a faith that's sacrificial. A church that embraces this kind of faith. Shelter Cove, if we embrace this kind of faith and say, God, all of us, we want to reach our friends that way. We want to reach our community that way. We want to reach our world that way. We want to trust you in a way that's active, in a way that's persistent, where we don't give up on people. In a way that's creative, in a way that's sacrificial, we will be a force to be reckoned with. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that's persistent, where we, as followers of Christ, we don't give up on people because Jesus has never given up on us. Where we as a church think creatively, And we've got some people that do that. I was just talking to one of our guys on staff who did the video that intros the message. He said, yeah, we just got done taking care of our video that's in the Galaxy movie theaters right now. We've got an ad in the movie theaters. I'm like, man, that's awesome. People thinking outside the box. And when Pokemon Go was going on, that huge video game, we had gyms here and people were coming to our church that had never been to church just to be a part of this video game. This last Friday night, we had over 100 high school students all over our church campus all night long. It was an all-nighter. Pray for Pastor Chad. He's tired, all right? Doing things creatively. Why? We want to see people come to know Jesus. But it's interesting when we look at this passage, what did Jesus say? He said he saw their faith. It's the kind of faith that I want Jesus to see in all of our lives. Where he looks at us, he just kind of crosses his arms and he smiles and he says, that's a church that's active. That's a church that's persistent. That's a church that's creative. That's a church that's sacrificial. And because of that, God blesses us. He saw their faith. Point two in your notes. Point two in your notes. Jesus forgave his sins. Jesus forgave his sins. These guys lower their friend down on this mat right in front of Jesus. Now, I wonder how many of them were when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven to this man that's paralyzed. I wonder how many of them thought, really? Like, we were hoping that you would just heal him. Like what, Jesus, what's going on? Now, in that culture, we have to be in, keep in mind that the mindset was if you were had some kind of a disease or a sickness, often it was tied to the sin in your life. That's just the understanding, the mindset. We know that part of it's we just live in a world filled with sin. It's not directly because of our own sin, but because we live in a fallen world. In fact, Jesus put it this way in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, there was a man that was blind, and one of the disciples asked him, he said, Jesus, is this man blind because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? Jesus responds and says, no, he's not blind because of his own sin or the sin of his parents. He's blind that the mighty work of God might be displayed in his life. And then Jesus, in a creative way, doesn't just reach out his hand and heal his blindness. He turns, he loogies in the ground, right? He spits. Mixes his fingers with it, and he touches the man's eyes, and he is healed from his blindness. Again, another miracle of Jesus. So Jesus is having this conversation. The scribes are starting to wonder in their own minds, in their own eyes. They're starting to think, like, who is Jesus to say this, that he can forgive sins? Oh, only God can do that. Jesus, you're blaspheming. You're claiming to do what only God can do. And this is what eventually got Jesus killed, is he kept on claiming to be God. Why? Because he was. He referred to himself in this passage as the Son of Man, fully God and fully man. Jesus did things that only God could do. Now, why would Jesus immediately say your sins are forgiven? Because the man's greatest need in his life was not a physical healing, but a spiritual healing. For so many of us, we can say, God, if you would just heal my hand or heal my cancer or heal this, God, my life would be great. No, we would still have sin in our life. And the Bible says that sin leads to death. The greatest healing that every single one of us need is our hearts. We need our sin to be forgiven. We need access to a holy God, and only through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection do we know that we have the forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternity with Jesus in heaven. So we see point two, that Jesus forgave his sins. Now, it's interesting to look at this paralyzed guy. This paralyzed guy has sin. He's paralyzed. He had sin in his life. It was forgiven. But it's a reminder to all of us that sin literally paralyzes us. And the miracles that Jesus did, whether it was the healing of the blind man, healing of the paralyzed, healing of the leprosy, it doesn't matter what kind of sin you have in your life, Jesus can heal you. And that's the first thing that Jesus did. He met his greatest need and forgave him of his sin. Notice what he does then, the third point in your notes. Jesus healed the man. Jesus healed the man. So not only did Jesus see their faith, not only did Jesus forgive this man's sin, but Jesus heals the man. Now, why would Jesus do that? Jesus asked the question, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up, take your mat, and go home? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, right? Because nobody would know if you actually did it. But to say that, take up your mat, get up, and go home, only God could do that. So Jesus in this moment is proving that he is God. And he tells the paralyzed guy, get up, take your mat, go home. So what does the paralyzed guy have to do? He has to put his faith in God and say, God, okay, I'm trusting you. I mean, there's probably atrophy in his legs. His muscles hadn't been used for maybe months, maybe years, maybe since his birth. And he literally stands up, picks up his bed, and walks home. I would have been like, see you later, guys, right? Jesus saw their faith, Jesus forgave his sin, and Jesus healed the man. Now I want us to see two realities before we close our time. Two realities that we have to keep in mind. Number one is they deeply loved their friend. They deeply loved their friend. And this is a part that often we don't focus on. See, a lot of us will think, you know, what are the obstacles of my friends coming to know Jesus Christ? It's how I feel. I'm not comfortable. I'm waiting for the right time. Or we see other obstacles out there that we just identify. Can I just say this? Most likely, the greatest obstacles of our friends, our family members, our neighbors coming to Christ is not how we feel, is not what we see. But it's who we are. Can I be that blunt? We just don't love people the way we should. People look at us and they see hypocrites. They see hatred. They see a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit. What did these four friends have? They had an authentic love for their friend. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 22. He says, the greatest commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I think the greatest issue is that we just don't love people with the love of Christ. Can I just get real personal for a moment? For so many of my years of my life, at least probably half of my life, I was more concerned spiritually on how I looked instead of how I loved. As long as I wasn't watching R-rated movies, as long as I wasn't using any profanity or bad language, as long as I was sexually pure, as long as I was fill in the blank, as long as I spiritually looked good, and looked like I had my act together, and looked religious, that was what mattered. And you know who that's like? It's like the Pharisees. That's like the hypocrites. And God began to change my heart and began to make me understand what the Christian life is all about. It's not about how spiritually we look. It's about how we love. Authentically loving others the way that Jesus Christ loves us. Because you know what Jesus is doing in the next passage in Mark chapter 2? He's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. Like what would happen as a church if we weren't consumed with spiritually how we looked but how we loved? Here's what I believe would happen. Is that there would be a radical change, not just in our church, but in our city. Because there would be some of you that would think, you know what, there's some prostitutes in our city that need the love of Christ. So that there would be a group of gals on a regular basis that would go out and show the love of Jesus to prostitutes. We wouldn't be concerned about how people perceived us. We would be going and sitting down and having coffee with people that are gay, that are homosexual, because we wouldn't let that be a fear. We would love them. with the love of Jesus Christ, not embracing their behavior, but telling them about the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be caught up in how we looked. We would be caught up in how we love. Sitting in the hot tub with a guy this last week at InShape after I worked out, he was in his 60s. We started talking about church because I kind of try to steer conversations in that direction. And asked him about church. You go to church? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, my mother-in-law watches Christian television 24 hours a day. And I'm thinking, that's a long time. And he said, she is the most hateful person I know. I'm like, thinking in my mind, you might be my brother-in-law because I think we have the same mother-in-law, right? My mother-in-law is actually amazing. So, but I thought about saying it, and I'm glad I didn't. You know why he wants nothing to do with church, nothing to do with Jesus? His mother-in-law. Talked to another gal this last week at the gym, and she has been hopping around it from church to church for 17 years because every church she goes to, she feels criticized, judged, and just condemned. These guys deeply loved their friends. They deeply loved them. But we need to work on that. Second thing that we see is they deeply trusted Jesus. They deeply trusted Jesus. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 17. He says, truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, grain of a mustard seed is super small, you can barely see it. He says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus is saying, if you've got just a little bit of faith, you can say to that mountain, move, and it's going to move. See, Jesus didn't talk about obstacles. He talked about faith. He talked about having more faith. And as we look at this story of this paralyzed guy on this mattress with the four friends, and their willingness to do whatever is possible, it really reminds us of an event that many of us have been a part of. I mean, these guys were carrying this guy on the mat. They lowered him through the roof. His sin was something that spiritually leads to death. He's forgiven and he's resurrected. It's really the illustration of a funeral. I mean, these guys are like pallbearers, lowering their friend into the ground, and he's raised to new life. That's what every single one of us have the opportunity to do, because your faith will impact others. There's other people in your life that need to be carried to Jesus, and they need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And today, you may be here and thinking, you know what, God, would you help me love others deeply, and would you help me trust you deeply, and then give me a faith that's going to impact others? And yet maybe there's some of you here today that you understand, you realize maybe more now than ever that your sin, spiritually speaking, paralyzes you. And you need Jesus to look at you in the eyes and say, my brother, my sister, your sin is forgiven.
Today on Growing Through God's Word, Jeremy Oldenburger has been our Bible teacher as we continue our series called Faith in the Fight. And today we've been looking at Mark chapter 2 in the wonderful account of the four friends who would stop at nothing to bring their paralytic friend to meet Jesus for a healing. You know, All Things Shelter Cove is found in one easy-used app. Download the app for your iPhone, Android, or your tablet. Full access to past sermons, events, Bible, and other great tools right in your own pocket or purse. Simply go to sheltercovelive.com and you'll find the media bar that will send you to the app page to download the Shelter Cove app. Again, that's sheltercovelive.com. You can also reach us by phone toll free. The line is 1-866-744-7967. That's 1-866-744-7967. If you have additional questions or like to get a hard copy of our current series that we're presenting on the radio, Faith in the Fight. Again, reach us by phone at 1-866-744-7967. And now to close out our time, here once again is Jeremy.
Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for Jesus. Jesus is the same, that Jesus hasn't changed. God, that the opportunities that people had back then are the same opportunities that we have today. God, you are still all-powerful, and would you forgive us for the times when we don't believe that? God, forgive us for the times where we've given up on our friends, given up on our family members. God, thank you for never giving up on us. So God, today, would you renew our passion to see the lost come to Christ? And would you give us a faith where we can be part of that process?
And then join us for more solid, practical Bible study here on Growing Through God's Word. This program is brought to you by Shelter Cove Community Church in Modesto, California.